Welcome to the Black Atlantic.
Thank you for having us.
Could you shortly introduce yourself? So, to my left, there's the singer. It's Geert.
Yep, my name's Geert. I sing, play guitar.
And some piano.
Some piano as well. Then to my left is Matthijs.
And I play some piano as well and some bass guitar. I do some backing vocals.
My name is Simon and I'm the drummer.
My name is Kim and I play the guitar.
Okay, four guys. You are more than four. You have a girl in the band as well?
No, that was about 2.5 years ago. There was my wife used to be in the band, but we've been playing in this lineup for over 2 years now. Just four dudes.
Okay. The Black Atlantic, what kind of music do you make? How would you describe your music? I mean, we've listened to the first song. Now it's quite long.
Melodic folk rock music.
Is it popular in Netherlands at the moment? Would you say so?
In the sense of like, what do you mean, like popular culture, or like, do people come out to shows for this type of music?
Both.
I don't think it's a very mainstream kind of thing. It's very like more of a music lovers kind of music. More people who go to live concerts a lot and keep track of this type of music. But there's definitely an audience for it, but it's not mainstream, you know. Mainstream Dutch pop music is terrible.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That would be my next question. What is mainstream? Is it like everywhere in Europe? It's this silly dance floor pop music, easy listening music.
Right. Well, I think silly is pretty much a good summary of most really really big pop music. It's pretty silly, but you know,
easy. It's created in
digestible.
An easy way. Like it's just simplistic.
Yeah, it's digestible. It's you know,
it's not real band music.
Well, some bands, you know, break through and, you know, play music that we also like. It's not like we don't listen to pop music. There's definitely pop acts that I enjoy listening to. But I think in the Netherlands, there's a couple of bands getting bigger right now that are more alternative, more like came from the underground, playing a specific, more like specialty type music that's getting more popular now, and I think that's also because of the internet.
Yeah, you could teach me something about good music, good Dutch music, because when I think of Dutch music, first band comes in my mind, I'm sorry, it's the Hermes House Band.
Jeez.
You know this.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible, but it's
well, there's
Dutch
you know,
music.
There's a lot of really good
this is
good
what
bands
comes
right now.
Over the frontier to us, and it's
right now
party
there's a lot
music,
of good
so
Dutch bands touring. There's
tell
there's,
me good Dutch bands.
Well, Moss is a really great band, and they just released a great second album or third record, right? It's a third album. MOSS. They just released a great record. And then there's a band that we're good friends with called I Am Oak, who tour Germany quite often. And then there's a singer-songwriter with band called Awkward I, like as in like me, I. There's a girl indie pop band called The Secret Love Parade. It's more like electronic, electro, indie pop stuff that's really good. They just released their record on Valentine's Day, which is what, last week?
Was it an accident with the Valentine's Day?
Because no, I think
Secret Love Parade?
No, I think it was planned. I think it was intentional. Those are four, but there's a lot more right now coming up that are doing really well, that are playing interesting music. And but those are four. I mean, Kim, our guitar player, also has a solo thing going, and he's releasing a record in March. There's lots of good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And what is your personal background? What is your story, the story of the Black Atlantic? How did you develop and come together?
Well, in a nutshell, it was a recording project of mine, Geert, the singer. And it turned into a band eventually, over time. I recorded a song, and then I recorded a few more, and then, you know, I started playing shows with various people, and eventually we kind of stumbled on this lineup throughout the years, and this became the lineup that we wrote the last record with, Darkling I Listened. So that's it in a nutshell. I could go through. There's so many like member changes all that in from the past that it's kind of confusing. So that's kind of the short version.
But originally you come from metalcore, is it right? You had this band called Shy Heart, whatever this is?
Yeah, I used to scream in a hardcore band from the United States, and I lived there for a long time. I'm Dutch, but I lived in the States for quite a while, so that was the music from my childhood, from my youth. When I was 16, I listened to punk and metal, and that's the kind of music that I wanted to play, so I did that for a long time. But we all come from different backgrounds. Matthijs, you know, was played in like more like progressive rock and psychedelic bands, and Simon played in like crazy noise bands, and Kim, you know, has actually pretty much always only done the singer-songwriter thing, but he's been doing that for quite a while too.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would say you can hear the psychedelic influence quite a lot in
yeah,
the music
especially
now,
on the
and
new
not
record.
The metal core.
So no, not the metal
you
thing,
even
yeah.
Don't scream anymore.
No.
Maybe just cry, but not scream.
Yeah. No, I'm done with screaming.
Okay.
I got old.
It's better for voice.
That too, yeah.
Kat, do you write the lyrics?
Yes.
Is it you? Only you?
Yeah.
You used to be a philosopher. You studied philosophy even if you interrupted your studies.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, would you think this had any influence on your, I don't know, to work with language or to write songs?
Well, I've always been interested in writing lyrics even before I was studying philosophy. I was always writing lyrics and working on trying to make them more like poetry and less like, you know, catchy phrases to sing. Although there's something to be said also for just singing a really catchy one-liner. But I think that it's definitely had an influence, but maybe more in a kind of subconscious way. Like, maybe the topics that I choose to sing about are, you know, just like anybody else's, but the way I describe them might be a little bit more, you know, maybe I have a different idea on how to approach a certain topic because I've studied philosophy and some of the topics that I sing about, you know, have been discussed in philosophy. Pretty much everything has been discussed by some philosopher or another.
Especially topics like meaning of life and so on. So it's maybe it's the bigger topics are discussed in philosophy, I would say.
Well, I mean, I found that pretty much anybody is a philosopher, and it just depends, you know, there's academic philosophy and there's just, you know, life philosophy. And one of the reasons why I dropped out of university is because I was really tired of academic philosophy. I just felt it wasn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I've discovered a lot of great writers and a lot of great thinkers because I studied all these different authors and philosophers that I would have never been exposed to if I hadn't studied it.
Yeah, and as you said, you prefer poetry more than prosa, for example, so you don't tell concrete stories in your songs, concrete
right.
films in head, but rather the mystic and metaphorical stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's I never thought about it that way, but I think I agree with that.
Okay. Now you published an EP.
Yeah.
It's called Darkling. And before that, it's 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
2009,
yeah.
was your debut. It's called Reference for Fallen Trees.
Right.
There's a story about this album I read. Maybe you can tell it again. What do you mean by Reference for Fallen Trees? It has nothing to do with forest, does it?
No. Well, I mean, apart from the fact that we recorded a lot of the record up in a small house in upstate New York in the mountains, and it was surrounded by trees, the record doesn't really, you know, the title Reverence, which means, you know, like to honor something, and then for fallen trees, it's not really, you know, I'm not some like green ecological, you know, fighter or something. It's a metaphor for honor the dead, and the trees in the metaphor are my grandparents, it's kind of, for me, like having my grandparents in my life was kind of like a quiet presence, just like the way trees are a quiet presence. You can walk down the street and there's trees all around you, usually, unless you're maybe in downtown Tokyo. And a lot of the times you just don't really notice them because they're there and they're not intrusive. I found that my grandparents were like that in my life. They were always present in a kind of like on the periphery of my life. But then when they all passed away, all of a sudden I noticed, you know, that they were gone in that kind of quiet presence kind of way. I noticed that the quiet presence was gone. So it took me a while to come up with an album title. And throughout the period that we were recording the record, three of my four grandparents passed away, and my grandfather had already died. So it felt appropriate to, since I was writing some lyrics about that, to dedicate the record in that way to them.
And was the record before they died, and after that you decided to call it like this?
No.
Or did they die first, and then you
during.
Had this before inspiration and for the songs?
Well, my grandmother passed away right after we started recording, and my grandfather passed away while we were still recording, and then my grandmother passed away right after we finished recording.
Okay. And you did not sell this record in a normal way, at least not in a digital form? So you...
Right. We made it downloadable for free.
Yes.
But you can still buy the CD and the vinyl, and if you want, you can still pay for the download, but it is
You should
optional.
Even pay for, but it's your decision how much.
Yeah. It's pay what you want.
Yeah. And it's like Radiohead did
right.
with the Into Rainbows album.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a premiere this time.
Well, that's actually not true because there were bands In Rainbows was, I would say, the first like really big major release that was done on a pay what you want basis. But bands were already doing it, and the label
we
worked together.
So it was unusual for such famous bands to
right.
do yeah. it.
Although I guess didn't Nine Inch Nails do it before that already?
I think a bit later.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of artists I guess who did it already, but didn't really get. It wasn't as big a hype as Radiohead, and Radio was definitely one of the first.
Do you have any connections to Radiohead as well? Because I also hear Radiohead when I
sure.
listen to your music, and
that's
kind of compliment of me now.
Thanks. I mean, for all four of us, that's one of our favorite bands.
Though we don't have a personal connection with them.
I wish.
Yeah, maybe one day. Support. Who knows? Okay.
Radiohead supports us. That sounds
yes.
like a really good idea. I could use their support. Radiohead, if you're listening, we would love for you to support us.
I'm sure they are listening at www.rdl.de livestream. Let's come to your new EP. It's called Darkling. And as the name says, Darkling, again, dark topics.
Darkling,
am
I
right?
Listen. No.
No.
Oh, Darkling just means in the dark. So it's not necessarily a dark. It's not necessarily about darkness or dark topics. It's more about it's more about tension, about and maybe about it's more about psychological tension, about going inward instead of outward.
Okay. But it's is it meant as a opposite to the debut album? In this sense?
No, I didn't think about it that way.
It's not that serious or not that dark?
No, it was just I really liked, it's from a poem by John Keats, late romantic poet, and I really like the poem, and I really especially like that line. I think the line is, darkling I listen, and for many a time I have been half in love with easeful death, which he wrote that when he was really sick. And it was a very kind of it's kind of it's a nice way. It's a nice way of acceptance, of accepting your fate. And so I thought that the title "Darkling, I Listen" was a kind of just a beautiful way of saying I'm listening to myself and I accept it.
So it's a form of self confidence.
Not sure if it, not necessarily
self consciousness.
Yeah, maybe self consciousness. Not so much self confidence. More. Yeah, it's not about confidence as much as it's just more about, like I said, more about the inward journey, I guess. It's difficult to describe.
Okay, you have to listen.
To pinpoint it.
To listen and to feel it.
Yeah, it's just not a very, it's not a very concrete thing. Mm. Feelings and emotions aren't very, it's not very easily, or sometimes they are, but most of the time I'd say they're not really easy to pinpoint what you're exactly feeling. And that's the process, and the songs deal with those different types of feelings where you're kind of confused, but you're also aware of the fact that you are.
Hmm. But nevertheless, would you say that you are rather on the dark side of life, or rather on the bright side of life? Because your music sounds quite dark, which is good, I think.
I don't know. I don't really think of life in those terms, I guess. Sad?
Yeah.
There's definitely melancholy in her music. Yeah. But I'm not... Also, again, I'm not necessarily sure if melancholy means sadness in a kind of, like, crying my eyes out kind of way. It could also mean, like, again, like the kind of accepting the kind of tragedy of life in an uplifting way. So, to me, at least, melancholy is also a very uplifting feeling. It's not just a... It can feel really exuberant. I can feel joy, even though I'm melancholy.
Yeah, I think it's a quite deep feeling.
Yeah, maybe.
Melancholy and romantic.
Definitely romantic, for sure.
Okay. And your songs are quite long for pop songs. They're not the three-minute things, but... Most songs are 4 to 5 minutes, and it's quite a lot of time. So it's a time where you have really time to drift off and to come in, and drift off with your thoughts.
Right.
I listened to your songs on the highway some hours that's good. Ago, and it's perfect.
Yeah, it's so good. It's good traveling music. I agree.
And lots of instrumental parts. So. Preludes, interludes. So you take your time really to enjoy the songs and to play the music and to.
I think we just try to make little little universes out of our songs. So each song is a kind of a short little journey.
Yeah.
And in one song, it's only five-song EP, that's why it's an EP and not an LP. Mm-hmm. Why is it an EP? Did I ask you that? And not an LP? Haven't you been patient enough to wait for the long player?
Well, when we started playing together in this lineup, I mean, the Black Atlantic's been a band since 2007. Like I said earlier, there were so many lineup changes. But when we started playing in this lineup, we just toured on the old album for like a year and a half or so, and we only played those songs, and we were just on the road so much that it's difficult for me and for the rest of the guys to write songs when we're on the road. You don't have the peace. And so when we finally got off the road for a little bit, we decided we were going to write songs and see where it would end, but we also didn't want to get bogged down writing a record quite yet, because it was the first time for the four of us to write together. So we just wrote for 6 months, and we wrote more than five songs. We wrote some more, we had a lot of sketches laying around, but these were the five songs that we finished. And then it was just time for us to release them. We didn't want to wait any longer, and it was kind of like a small step. So maybe the next step will be bigger. The idea is for sure to write and record a record next, but this was a good beginning.
Yeah, and on this record you use a lot of instruments. So here we have just the usual four band instruments, but you also have, I heard a pipe, is this true? On an arca, a dancer? Is there a pipe?
Oh, no, it's a mellotron. There's a flute on there.
Yeah.
And it's Matthijs. He owns a mellotron. A mellotron is an old keyboard from, what, the 60s?
Yeah, from the 60s. It's more like a tape-based organ type of thing. It plays tapes instead of pre-generated sounds from some oscillator or something. So it's quite old, like the Beatles used to use it and stuff like that.
So the flute parts that you hear and the string parts, they're, you know, they're basically, it's like a keyboard, but it's a tape keyboard. So it sounds really warm and authentic.
Yeah.
But it's like
sets lying around there. There's sort of small stretches of tape in there, and there's sounds on there that were recorded in the 50s.
So that's what you're hearing.
It sounds really authentic. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you hear the flutes, you hear, you know, if you hear an A, then it's an A played on the keyboard, and it's the note that was recorded.
Yeah.
So it's still keyboard, but it's, you know, real instruments.
Sounds a bit spheric, esoteric almost.
play the flute part.
Play the flute part.
For a quiet homo man, for example.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, that's the pipes.
Yeah, it sounds almost a bit hippie-like or middle age. I don't know.
Sure. We'll accept hippie-like.
Old-fashioned. Okay. Well, guys, show is almost over.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
My questions are over. Your live music is over. So I say thank you. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.